Thank you, folks, for leading us in worship today. If you were here last Sunday, we talked about the biggest liar in town. And we talked about him out of John chapter 8. It wasn't your neighbor. It wasn't the person sitting next to you. It wasn't who you maybe thought the biggest liar in town is. The biggest liar in town is Jesus, who is the Father. Let's back up. Jesus is being tempted by the biggest liar in town. That's what we're touching base on today. The biggest liar in town is Satan himself, as John 8:44 says. He is the father of lies. And not only is he the father of lies, that text also says he's a murderer and a thief. And everything he does and everything he touches is everything that motivates him, and everything that he's about is to destroy lives. Glorious thing about us as believers who've been bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, he can't have us, but he can try to trip us up and confuse us, but he can't have us because we've been bought by the blood of Jesus. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, you are easy prey for him. But let me tell you, like we just sang the song, that Jesus has made a way for you by his sacrifice. Matter of fact, we've already really had an invitation by the song that we just sang. Come to the altar. Come to the altar. He did it all for us. In the passage that we just read, Matthew chapter 4, it talks about temptation. And I was reading a writer this week, and he made a comment. He wasn't a biblical writer. He was a secular writer. He wasn't even a believer. But he says, I can resist anything but temptation. And he was being flippant about it. And one thing we need to understand about temptation is we do not need to be flippant about temptations. As a matter of fact, there's no greater example of victory over temptation that can be found than what we read about in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 11, as Jesus is tempted by the devil himself, the biggest liar in town. And Jesus did not succumb to those temptations. And I want us to notice just the strategy that Satan used to tempt Jesus. And I want you to know that the strategies that he used to tempt Jesus back in the time when Jesus was living and what is recorded in Matthew chapter 4 are the same strategies that he uses today to tempt us. He's become wiser and more devious in his plans, but he has just a set pattern that he uses. And I want you to notice in the text there in verses 1 through 4 that one of his methods in tempting Jesus was there was a need. Matter of fact, one of the greatest understatements in the Bible, it says Jesus was fasting for 40 days. And after the fasting for 40 days, it says he was hungry. Well, that's an understatement. Of course he was hungry. In his flesh, he was hungry. He was in a weakened physical state in his flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ was. And that was the time the enemy came to tempt him. And notice what he says. Satan appeals to him and says, you know, you're hungry. I know you're hungry. And so since you're hungry, and since you are the Son of God, and if you are the Son of God, as the text says, then why don't you take these stones and turn them into bread and feed yourself? Why don't you take care of the immediate need that you have? And folks, that's what Satan does to us. He says, listen, you have needs that need to be taken care of. And listen, you can take care of those right now. And he makes an appeal to us. But he does it in a deceptive way. But he finds the point and he watches and observes the point where we are our weakest. Like Jesus was physically weak after fasting for 40 days, and he said, hey, you're hungry. Maybe a little food. In Jesus' flesh, he was hungry. But he did not take the bait. He did not turn the stones into bread. What did he do? It says in the passage, Jesus overcame by quoting Deuteronomy 8:3. He says, "It is written," and you'll notice as I read this earlier, three times in this passage, Jesus says, "It is written. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Jesus knew that the most impractical thing for him to do was to turn those stones into bread. Satan finds where we are our most needy and where we're at our weakest point and puts before us opportunities and temptations that sometimes we fall into. We're lonely. And he brings somebody around that is not going to be good for us in our lonely time. Because he knows that we're weak and that we're subject to that, and we're easily led astray in our loneliness and our sadness and our grieving. He knows that we financially, maybe we're at a place where things are just falling apart financially, and he knows that we're weak, looking for an opportunity to pay the bills and all that seems to be overwhelming us. And he presents opportunities for us that he knows that we might consider, that otherwise we would not consider, by tempting us. He knows when we're emotionally weak, and he presents temptations before us that we would normally not pursue. Satan, in his strategy before Jesus, was to appeal to his need, and his need, the most obvious need, was that Jesus was hungry after fasting 40 days. And he says, "Why don't you make these stones bread?" And Jesus said, "No. It is written." And when it says it is written, he is referring to the Word of God. He answers the temptation with the Word of God. And folks, that is the key for us today. When temptations come our way, we must answer those with the Word of God, what God says. That's why Psalm 119:11 is so precious. It says, "Thy Word, God, Thy Word, I have hid in my heart that I might not sin against You." In other words, I've read it, I've learned it, I've studied it, I'm memorizing it. The psalmist is writing that, so that I might not sin against You. When the enemy comes and presents temptations at my lowest point, my most needy point, I might answer that temptation, not by following after it, by saying, just like Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." But then you notice down in verse 5 through 7, not only did Satan in his strategy appeal to the need that Jesus had, but he also appealed to a narrow view. He said, "Why don't you do this if you're the Son of Man, Son of God?" He says, "Why don't you do something that, you know, is we would consider that presumptuous?" And that's what Satan was presenting. "Why don't you climb to the top of the temple, which was about roughly 700 feet, and do a swan dive off the top of that building and see if the Father will catch you?" Jesus still in a weakened point. You know, it seemed logical for some. When those temptations come, it just seemed like the easy way out. It seemed like a remedy for my problems. Like we talked about last week, we talked about the liar tries to make everything look good. But you know, you put lipstick on a pig, it's still a pig. He's going to try to make those temptations look good and appealing. So he came to Jesus in his need and said, "Make these stones bread." Jesus said, "No. It is written." He said, "Throw yourself off here. Let's see if the Father, your Father, will keep you from getting hurt." And he quotes Psalm 91, as it's referred to in the passage, that he will lift you up in his hands, the angels will, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You know, Satan's wise, and he knows what the Word of God says. And so he's giving some of that to Jesus in this time of temptation. He will give that to you. And we talked about how he tempted Adam and Eve and said, surely God didn't say you would die. I mean, why would he want to forbid that you have the fruit of this tree, which looks so pretty and appealing? And there the trap is set. And they fell for that temptation. And as a consequence, all of us fell when Adam fell. So we see in the passage that there was the need, and then there was this narrow view. Well, let's just put God to the test. Well, we're warned in Scripture to do not test God. But we're also reminded when trials and tribulations come into your life and my life, and every one of you can say amen because you've been through trials and tribulations and temptations and difficult times. And not only have you been through them, you may be going through them now and you're going to experience them in the days ahead. Because the Bible tells us that. But God also gives us a remedy how to deal for those things, deal with those things that are coming. We don't have to have a narrow view where we might be prone to test God, but rather we trust God and believe in God. We don't put him to the test, as it were, with an evil motive, trying to save our own hide. We come before him and say, Father, you're a good, good father, and I, as your child, need your help. And before we ever word those statements, he's already working out a plan for us, folks. When we talk about being alone, we're never alone. Let me ask you, just by showing your hands, any of you ever been in a place where you just, it doesn't matter what you were going through, but you felt alone and overwhelmed by the situations? Am I the only one, or is there anybody else in this room? Every hand goes up. We understand that idea of being overwhelmed by the situations in life and the trials and tribulations and the testings that can come our way. And Satan is a master at trying to manipulate us with temptations when we are at those low points. But not only when we're at our low points, maybe when things are going really well, he throws temptations at us as well. But Jesus responded the first time, it is written. He responded the second time about climbing to the top of the temple and throwing yourself out because it says, hey, Deuteronomy says that God will give his angels charge to protect you, that you won't get hurt. So just do that swan dive off the top of the temple building and see if God will do what he said he would do. And Jesus says, no, it is written. Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Because the motivation there was a narrow view. It was a selfishness that Satan was trying to get Jesus to be focused on, and he would not take the bait. Folks, every temptation that Satan uses against us is a presumption that well, you won't get caught. You won't get hurt. And hey, it's just fun. It's just fun. And when he tempts us that with that narrow view where we're focusing on ourselves, he's saying, hey, listen, nobody's going to see this. Nobody's going to know about it. You won't get hurt, as he said to Eve. Surely God didn't say you died. And it's just for fun anyway. And it causes us to take a narrow view and focus upon ourselves instead of a bigger view about what God has said. And as Jesus responded, it is written. It is written. Do not put your God to the test for selfish motives. And that's what Satan was focused on. But also, not only was he trying to appeal to the need that Jesus had because he was hungry, not only was he trying to get Jesus to take a narrow view considering himself for selfish reasons, let's just see if God will do what he said and the angels will catch you and you won't you won't land and hurt yourself on the ground. Let's see if he'll catch you. But he also made the appeal for now. He said, right now, let's just do this right now. Because notice in verse 8, he said, and again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor. And he said, all I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. That third temptation is based upon the fact that Satan knew, he has the book. He knew that Jesus was the true owner of all things and that he will one day rule over all things. He knew that. He knew what the prophecies of the Old Testament said. He had access into the throne room of God before he was thrown out because he tried to form a coup to overthrow God himself. When he says to Jesus, hey, this temptation, how about right now? How about right now you go ahead and take what is rightfully yours? Let's don't wait. What he was saying to Jesus was the temptation was to seize what was rightfully his and what was going to be his anyway. He says, listen, you know, all that you see, all the beautiful things and all the created order and the beautiful kingdoms, all those things before you, you can have those right now. And you don't have to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and pray and agonize in prayer where blood is coming forth from your forehead and saying, Father, if it's possible, if this cup could pass from me, please take it. You don't have to go through the agony and the grief of praying in the Garden of Gethsemane and having disciples that you were constantly dealing with that would believe one day and were faithful one day and faithless the next day. He said, you can have it right now. You don't have to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. You don't have to go to Calvary. You don't have to experience all that took place on Calvary, the crowns of thorns, the beating on your back, the piercings in your hand, the piercings on your feet. You don't have to go through all that. You can possess it now. And what he said to Jesus that day in Matthew chapter 1, verses 4 through chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, he says to us, why wait? You know, you can have it right now. You know, you've got that credit card in your back pocket and it's got a $10,000 limit. Why do you need to save to buy that? Just buy it right now. And then we get caught under the burden of enormous debt that almost, like it were, strangles us because we want to have it now. Not wait. Have it now. Why wait to go through a period of courtship and falling in love and all of that when I can have the satisfaction of a physical relationship with you right now? That's the temptation he presents before us. And we wonder why relationships are crumbling, why there's a staggering divorce rate, why there is an alarming amount of teenage pregnancies, why there's an alarming amount of abortions, why people are living under the burden of great debt. Well, the reason being is because Satan has said he's appealed to the now. Listen, you don't have to wait. You can have what you want right now. I remember when Terry and I bought our first house years ago, and I remember we were young, and I thought, you know, we've got a house nicer than my parents have. But we also had a tremendous amount of debt that my parents didn't have in order to have that house. Satan appeals to the now. Jesus, you don't have to wait. Puts it in his head. You don't have to wait in your weakened state. You're hungry. You know, let's test the Father. Throw yourself off the top of the temple. Hey, Jesus, you know, I'll show you all these things. I'll give all these things to you. if you'll bow down and worship me. Satan's appeal is for us to have immediate gratification. And folks, we were not made for immediate gratification alone, but we were fashioned by God for His favor, and we were created for His glory. And in the process of being created in His fashion and for His favor, we are to draw our gratification from that relationship that we have with Him, and then the things that He puts before us and the relationships that He puts before us and the discipline that He puts before us, that we might have gratification from the Father and not from the enemy. We get things in the timing of the Father, not the timing of how much is on my credit card, or not what I think my physical needs may be at this moment. And you notice, as before, Jesus answered there in the text, He says in verse 10, He says, and Jesus said to him about this idea of, you don't have to go to Gethsemane, you don't have to go to Calvary, you can have it now if you'll bow down and worship me. Jesus says, it is written, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. And what Jesus said there for Himself and quoted in the Old Testament is true for us. We are to say, away from me, Satan. We talked about this last week. Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve Him only. I want to give you five things to take home that relate to this passage. The first one is this. No one is exempt from temptation. None of us. And a great point would be in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 4, even the Lord Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. And if He, the Lord Jesus Christ, was tempted by the devil, what makes you think that you could be above temptation? Number one out of five, no one is free from temptation. Matter of fact, the Bible says that temptation that comes to you or to me, don't think that it's odd or it's something special that you're encountering, because listen, the temptations that we encounter are common to all men, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And the point number two, take home from this, is when God allows temptation, and I use the word God allows temptation because God doesn't tempt us with evil, nor can He be tempted with evil, but when God allows temptations and trials and tribulations, like the man Job in the Old Testament, who had them one right after the other. When God allows temptations, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, He always, what? Say it so I can hear it. He provides a way of escape. None of us have to fall prey to any kind of temptation, no matter what it is. Because God says the temptations that come your way are common to all men. And you will be tempted. But He says, when temptations come, I will always for my children provide a way of escape. You say, well, I fell into that temptation. There was no way. Well, you know what? You weren't calling on God, because God is not a liar. And when He says, I always provide a way of escape when temptations come, but you say, I couldn't get out of that temptation, I fell prey to it. Well, you know what? You weren't talking to God and you weren't saying, Father, please help me, because He says in His Word He will provide a way of escape. Number three, temptation is always appealing. Always appealing. Satan shows you the glitter and the glamour. He never shows you the nasty and the negative. When he presents temptations before you, it's always the glitter and the glamour. It's never the nasty and the negative. He's a good salesman. He shows you what he wants you to see, not the negative that's connected to it, the after effect. No one is free of temptation. When God allows temptation, there's a way of escape. Temptation is always appealing. That's His strategy. But number four, the best defense against temptation is a good offense. Some of you are coaches, some of you work in sports, some of you know that and I had a chance to coach years ago, my kids growing up, and so we would study the other team. We'd get films and stuff, and so you study the opponent. You would study the team that you're playing against a week ahead or 2 weeks ahead. You're looking at how they run their offense and defense. You're getting aware so you can put your strategy together. Well, that same principle applies here. The best defense against temptation is to have a good offense, to know how the enemy operates. And Jesus armed himself with the Word of God and declared with confidence, "It is written." He went on the offensive. And he says, "Listen, this is what the Word of God says, and this is what I declare to you." And you notice in verse 11, it says, he says, "Satan, away from me, Satan." And it says that the verse 11, that the devil departed from him. Folks, the best defense is a good offense, understanding the strategy of your enemy or your opponent. And we know that by coming to Scripture and seeing how he works. And then number five, when we resist temptation, what God will send after that, as we resist it by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, God will bring spiritual blessings to us as we do not fall prey and we resist temptations. Did you get those five things? You're going to need them this week. Mark it down. You'll say, "You know what, Brother Tony talked about that, and I wish I'd written those five things down." Probably before the day's over, you're going to have some temptations come your way, or I'm going to have some temptations come my way. So I need to understand, no one is free from temptation. When God allows temptation, he provides a way of escape. Temptation is always going to be appealing. It's always going to look good. The glitter and the glamour, never the nasty and the negative. The best defense for me against temptation is to have a good offense, to know, as the psalmist said, "I hide the Word of God. I study the Word of God. Lord, I hide thy word in my heart. I know thy word. I read thy word so that I might not sin against you. I might not fall prey to temptation." And then understand this. When we overcome temptations, God says, "Listen, I will bring spiritual blessings into your life as you call upon me." We talked about last week James chapter 4, verse 17, about dealing with the enemy. And God says, this needs to be your strategy. Do you remember what it says in James 4, 17? This is part of your offensive plan. It says, "Draw near to God, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will" what? He will flee. You draw near to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Just like what happened to Jesus in his encounter in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 to 4. He said, "Satan, flee, because it is written," after the third temptation. And folks, we have to do that day in and day out. That's why we talk about the full armor of God in Ephesians 6. We have to put on the full armor of God so that we can fight these spiritual battles, not in our own strength, but in the power of God. Draw near to God. It's the first thing we do. Draw near to God. Resist the devil, and he must flee. And every day in my life as a Christian, I've had to practice that. And I wish I could tell you that I was 100% successful, but I haven't always been 100% successful. Because, you know, I can deal with this temptation on my own. But, you know, when I had that attitude, "I can deal with this on my own," I failed, and I failed miserably. And I came back to my Father, the good Father. I said, "Father, I tried to fight this battle with the enemy, and I failed." And he didn't say, "I," and wag his finger, say, "I told you so, I told you so." You know what? He embraced me and he loved me by his Holy Spirit. And he said, "Next time, Draw near to me first, Tony. Resist the devil and that temptation, and him and his minions must flee. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to learn how to overcome temptations in our lives. We talked about the biggest liar in town last week. Today we continue that thought, talking about temptations that come our way. And the temptations that come our way are those temptations that came before Jesus. They come to us by the devil, the father of lies, so that he can bring us into his scheme of murder, lying, and being a thief, all of those things. That he can keep us in a state of confusion and keep our homes in a state of confusion. The remedy, Jesus showed us three times, it is written, quoted scripture. James tells us in James 4:17, draw near to God, resist the devil, and all you'll see is his heel dust kicking up as he's gone. But he'll be back before the day's over. He'll be back in the morning. And you just keep repeating what God has said in his word. And that's how we live the victorious Christian life that Paul said, that we are to go from victory unto victory unto victory. God's called you and me to a victorious life, not a defeated life. No matter what may come your way, ladies and gentlemen, God did not call you to live a defeated life, regardless of the circumstances. So that's easy for you to say, preacher, because you're not going through what I'm going through. Well, how do you know? I may have gone through what you've gone through. But most importantly, I know what my God says about what you're going through. And he says, there's a way of escape. Draw near to him. Resist the devil, and he must flee. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that your word is very clear. And Lord, as we think about temptations that we all face, your word tells us that. They're going to come in many and varied forms and fashions. Lord, we don't have to fall prey to those temptations. If we draw near to you, God, you will take care of that for us. But God, we need to know your word. We need to know what has come forth from your mouth that we might live according to every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Mouth of God, as Jesus said. So that we would become students of Scripture, so that we would be victorious in our Christian walk. Father, if there's someone here this morning that's living in a situation in their life, whatever it may be, that where they feel just overwhelmed, God, give them the courage maybe to come to the altar like we sang. Come to the altar and say, Father, I need help. Because things are crashing in from every angle. And temptations are coming that I don't want to be involved with or part of, but I'm losing hold of the rope, as it were, and I'm about to slip. Come to the altar and pray. Submit that to God. Come up here and I'll pray with you. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you are fair game for the enemy and temptations. You are fertile ground for him. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, the decision to trust him as Lord and Savior, to confess your sins and draw near to him, be born again, that's your greatest need, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today. Come forward. We'll share the scripture. We'll meet with you after the service. We'll meet with you during the week, or you can take care of that right now. If you're looking for a church home, a place to come and to minister, to practice your spiritual gifts, but also to be ministered to. This is a great place. These are loving people. I've just been here a month and 3 days, and I love this congregation. You as a people are so precious, and I thank God for you and how you've loved my wife and I, prayed for us, talked to us, encouraged us. If you're looking for a church home, come here, and if God directs, come here and be a part of this congregation. Let's work together for the kingdom of God. Whatever your need, ladies and gentlemen, take care of it before you leave today. Because the longer we wait, the more difficult things become. But if we can help you today or in the days ahead, we'll be glad to. We're going to point you to Jesus. Father, we thank you for your blessings. Holy Spirit, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you that we have victory over temptations as they come our way, as we draw near to the Father. We learn the strategies of the enemy, and we walk victoriously through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you stand, please? Let's sing a song together. If God is speaking to your heart about making a decision, make that soon. Make that quick. Make that decision now as we sing together.